Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. So now we're on the second part of the Upanishadic study is on the soul. So the nature of the soul and material energy and their relation to Brahman. So from mantra 14 here. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with his temporary demigods, men, and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Mantra 14. It's just establishing here is that this sambandhigyan is what is actually going to establish you in your relationship with Krishna and out of the material world, right? Because sambandha is relationship. So when you understand your relationship with Godhead, then that you establish yourself there, and then you take yourself out of the material. If you have material sambandha, then you're going to be connected wherever that is. Right, because it's relationship. So wherever you're cultivating the relationship, that's where it will remain. Right. So then here we're cultivating about proper knowledge. So then we will go to that place. Does that make sense? In the purport of mantra 4, it is stated: perfect knowledge means knowing the Lord in all His features, knowing His potencies, and knowing how these potencies work by His will. The Lord cannot be known by mental speculation. One should try to learn of the transcendence from the Lord Himself, the supreme source of the Vedas. For the Lord alone has full knowledge of the transcendence. Right? So you're only going to know about transcendence from the Lord. He knows everything, and we can't know everything. Right? We're limited. So what it is that the jiva can know of unlimited, that will be given. Right? Because beyond that, you can't. God knows it, but we don't. We can't. Does that make sense? So how much can fit inside our, you know, the pea brain, then that's how much then the Lord gives. So He's the source of the Vedas, so then He will know everything. So, but it must be gotten from Him. We can't get it from somewhere else. We can't make it up. We can't speculate. We speculate, it won't work like that. In the purport to Mantra 1, it is stated, quote, the Lord's proprietorship over everything within the universe is confirmed in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 7:4-5, where para and apara prakriti are discussed. The elements of nature, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, all belong to the Lord's inferior material energy, apara prakriti, whereas the living being, the organic energy, is the superior energy, para prakriti. Right. It's interesting. Organic energy, right? Is it's alive while the other's not. It's interesting how they use the terms. Both these properties or energies are emanations from the Lord, and ultimately He is the controller of everything that exists. There is nothing in the universe that does not belong to either the para or the apara prakriti. Therefore, everything is the potency of the Supreme Being. Everything is Krishna's, means it's the para and apara coming from Krishna. Everything in the universe is made of these two. Therefore, everything is coming from Krishna, and He is in control of that. It's also interesting to note that the material energy is called apara prakriti. So, therefore, the Vedic knowledge is apara vidya, because it's knowledge about this creation. Right. So what is para vidya? That is about nature of the soul, nature of the soul and the supreme soul, right? Transcendental. What is actually organic? What's alive? And then what's in contact with dead matter? That's the apara. So if that isn't, but we know that it's being pointed out here that this apara is in connection with the Lord, right? It is His energy. So therefore, it's called apara, right? Not transcendental, but it's still the Lord's. So that knowledge then is considered appropriate, right? But if that same knowledge is seen without connection to the Lord, which is wrong, right? Because the Lord is the master and source of the energy, then it's called avidya, right? So that means any knowledge that's not connected to Krishna is ignorance. And if it is, then it becomes aparavidya, right? Unless it's transcendental. Right? But still, in the same way, if it's transcendental knowledge, but used by the Mayavadis or other such persons, not in connection with the Lord, what does it become? What do you think?
Avidya.
Avidya, right? So therefore, avidya means that which is not in connection with the Lord. That's Maya, that's illusion. And if it's in connection with the Lord, then it's either paravidya or aparavidya. Right? But those two categories, not in connection with the Lord, is avidya. So that's why it's ignorance. Right? Does it make sense? Doesn't make sense. How paravidya means it's ignorance because you're taking the paravidya, you understand the nature of the soul, but you don't to fully understand the nature of the soul, you have to understand its relationship with Godhead and its source. I didn't say Brahmavadis, I said the Mayavadis. Because Brahmavadis, it's not that it's ignorance, they just don't have the full knowledge. It's not that what knowledge they have is not correct. There's just more, and they don't know it. Well, the Mayavadi actually doesn't properly understand the application of his knowledge. Does that make sense? So therefore, it acts as avidya. Otherwise, the mundane persons, then they don't do so well, right? They stay in the material world. But it's said that these Mayavadis, that they go to the darkest region. Right? Those who are in ignorance go to the dark regions. Those who are in these Mayavadis, they go to the darkest regions, right? Because they don't accept or acknowledge the Lord's form, right? A true Brahmavadi doesn't know it exists, so all he knows is everything is Brahman. So that's true, everything is Brahman, but he's not negating the Lord's form. But those who say spiritual must mean no form, right? Formless, no qualities. They go to the darkest region, because then they're saying God has no form and no qualities. The other one is saying, you know, God is Brahman. Like that. So they're not actually offensive. They're just not so well informed. Right? Does that make sense? Because the Supreme Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the complete person. He has complete and perfect intelligence to adjust everything by means of his different potencies. The Supreme Being is often compared to a fire, and everything organic and inorganic is compared to the heat and light of that fire. Just as fire distributes energy in the form of heat and light, the Lord displays his energy in different ways. He thus remains the ultimate controller, sustainer, and dictator of everything. He is the possessor of all potencies, the knowledge, the knower of everything, and the benefactor of everyone. He is full of inconceivable opulence, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Right? He's the supreme, everything is there. All there is within him. And so, therefore, that means everything is coming from him. And he is the controller of that, being the complete whole. Right? So then it is natural then, as he is everything, then his potency is distributed everywhere. So then this material manifestation is just one manifestation of his distribution of that potency. Right? In the purport to Mantra 14, it is stated, Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, possesses different energies, known as para, superior, and apara, inferior. The living entities belong to the superior energy. The material energy in which we are presently entangled is the inferior energy. The material creation is made possible by this energy, which covers the living entities with ignorance, avidya, and induces them to perform fruitive activities. Yet, there is another part of the Lord's superior energy that is different from both this material, inferior energy, and the living entities. That superior energy constitutes the eternal, deathless abode of the Lord. So now we're seeing is that we've established what's going on in the material, and the Lord as the source of that. But then there's also an alternative, because otherwise you can say is okay, the jiva's here, we're concerned with the jiva, And so they're coming from the Lord, but this material energy is coming from the Lord, but it's inferior. So it's not the proper place for the living entity because he's dealing with it in ignorance. So now either he deals with it without ignorance, in knowledge, and then remains in the material world, or if that's not the appropriate thing, it still doesn't come up to the standard because still it's inferior nature, then that means then you know, Godhead and their self, there would have to be some connection there. Does that make sense? So how is that connection made? Because you have a place here in which all activities are performed, but then if you get rid of that, then it's only the soul and God. Right? So now, having established, so we understand, in other words, this argument is only important up to the point of someone accepting that everything is coming from the Lord. So the jivas and the material energy are coming from the Lord, and he is the controller of it. Right? So then the next thing is, but there is a superior energy other than the superior energy of the jivas that's superior to both of them. So that place, then you have a realm. So then the jiva can go there and have his relationship with Godhead. Does that make sense? Right? So you see these very, very nice, that's why the acharyas give it in this way. It's a very nicely put, very systematic method, right, of presentation. And then by that, then one can understand. It makes everything very simple. At the same time as these simple points can be expanded in so many ways. Right? But we can see here is that the basic point is that everything is connected to the Lord. You see that, then you're dealing with transcendental vision. You don't see that, then you're dealing with ignorance. It's that simple. So if you can't see the connection between that knowledge and God, it's ignorance. Right? You make the connection, then it's not. Then it becomes aparavidya or paravidya. Right? But you don't make the connection that it's avidya, and it will bind you. Right? That's its job. That's what avidya does. It's ignorance. You can't say, because I'm a devotee, I won't be affected by ignorance if I'm dealing in it. You know what I'm saying? Because the devotees aren't dealing with ignorance. They're dealing with inferior energy. Right? So therefore, to deal with ignorance means then the jiva by nature will be affected by it. But if you're dealing with Krishna, then he's not affected by ignorance, therefore we won't be. Does that make sense? But if you remove Krishna, then you're dealing with ignorance and the jiva is overwhelmed by ignorance. Does that make sense? Only the jiva in connection with Krishna is not. Does that make sense? So very simple. So it makes it very easy to categorize what it is. So that means anything that you know or deal with, you can very easily categorize it. And then you can see what is having what effect on you. So if you have knowledge, but you're not connecting that to Krishna, it will have the effect of illusion. And if you are connecting it to Krishna, then it will have the effect of upliftment. Right? Enlightenment. Does this make sense? It's that simple. The problem is it's so simple that a lot of the things that we think just take for granted are connected are not. Right? Or things that we didn't even think about that are. And so we're happy. But because the problem is the absolute truth is so simple, straightforward, but unfortunately sometimes so stark, we don't want to deal with it. Right? Just like devotees will go on for, I 20 years discussing Varnashram and no one can figure out this and that. You know, who are, you know, so the point is who's going to discuss it should know who they are. If you don't know who they are, how do you discuss Varnashram? You know, can you add 2 plus 2 and equals 4? No. So then why are you on the committee for discussing, you know, the upliftment and development of mathematical science? Right? Do you know what numbers are? Not really. We're not sure if we should use these numbers or how, what base we could, you know, or if even the bases are something that we should be even considering. And can that person be on something to develop math? No, they don't know what math is. They can't use it. So if you don't know who you are in Varnashram, how you'll be able to discuss it? Right? And so then the thing is like this. It's basically, it comes down to this. It's simple. It means who should be discussing. Is, and we're not taking the word devotees, because that goes into brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So generally most people don't have too much trouble with that one. The varna side. Okay, if you deal in, you maintain yourself through education, or the brahminical sciences, like that, that puts you in that category. If you maintain yourself through administration, that puts you in the kshatriya category. If you maintain yourself through economics, that you generate means you take some kind of a medium and increase it, and the difference between what you had and your increasement, that's your profit, and that's how you maintain yourself, then that puts you in the vaishya category. Right? And if you don't do any of those three, but you assist those others doing those things, right? There's administrator, you just do some management, or you do some, you know, shopping or selling or things like that, then, you know, whatever it is, then you're an assistant, you're a shudra. But it's so stark, devotees won't want to deal with that. Because within 5 seconds, you can understand what your varna is. Right? And even though everyone's talking truth, truth, have let the truth, you know, why we should hide the truth, so then let's not hide this. Right? Immediately we talk about, you know, change of discussion here. Oh, we're devotees, we don't care for these things. So if we're devotees, then why do you care for all these other things? Varnashram's higher than morality, you know, but you care so much for morality and political correctness and justice and economics. That's in a lower stage. So if a devotee's only concerned about the highest, then, you know, if you're going to dump varnashram, why wouldn't you dump pranamoy? Right? If you're going to dump manamoy, dump pranamoy. And then we say, so therefore, take something higher. So then take, you know, the Vijnanamoy, the platform of liberation, all that. Oh, but we're not into yan, this, that, we're only into... So then take devotional service and drop everything else. Just sit down, chant, breathe, chant, dance, and take prasad. Great. No, but we, you know, we have to have all this sophisticated administration, this, that, and 5 million people on top, and 2 guys on the bottom. You know, like that. You know, that's all. That's the way all the you know, American Indians work, right? There would be 20 chiefs and there'd be 2 Indians, right? Isn't that? That's how. That's why they were successful, right? Isn't it? No. So, you understand? So the whole thing is it's so stark. We talk. It's that's why the modern isn't considered very useful. We work in a contemporary environment. Right, so therefore you work with the environment, but the principles on which you work are not modern. They're Vedic. Right? Because modern will always be inconsistent. Vedic, Krishna is based on Krishna. Krishna is the complete whole. The Shastra comes from Krishna. Krishna is the complete whole. Whatever he has is perfect and complete. So if you deal with that, then you're dealing with the material energy in the situation, the contemporary environment, will be perfect and complete. It's hard to translate. Talking too fast here. So. Does that make sense? Yes.
Talking about Vidya knowledge, we have accepting what is favorable and rejecting what is not favorable, and connecting that with also gift of Vairagya. So then, how do you encompass everything so that you're making sure that you're still on the same track? Because oftentimes, you work the wrong number of necessary.
No, but that's time, place, and circumstance. As we were saying, you deal with the environment. It means you have to take the Vedic principles and apply them to time, place, and circumstance. But to do that, you have to be able to know what the Vedic principles are, and you have to be observant of time, place, and circumstance. You have to understand what is the environment, what is the field. Unless you can identify the field, then how do you know what to do with the field? Because action happens in the field. You don't know what the field is, how can you perform an action in the field? You know? So therefore, how will you get a result from the field? So unless you know what the field is and what your relationship is with it and everything within that field, and then how, by engaging those elements of the field together, what results you get, how do you know that the result you'll get is the one you want? Right? You know, it's like, okay, I want the cauliflower to be cut up into pieces. Right? And to do that, I must use a sharp implement. Right, like a knife. So if I put the cauliflower into the blender, which has knives, I'll get small pieces, right? Isn't it? Yes or no? You get small, but they may be a little smaller than you want. You know? So, therefore, that means you don't know the field. So because you don't know the field, you actually can't get the result you think you are. So that's why if you don't know what you're going with, it means people will do an action, say, I'm just being practical, but what's the result they get? I'm just being practical. You know, I got to take care of my family and all, but are the families going well? But if the family's falling apart, it means it's not practical. It's not working. So it's not working, but they're doing the things, they're going out, they're getting the money, they're paying their rent or mortgage or whatever it is. It's all happening. So what's not happening means they don't understand the field itself and they don't understand what actual principles to apply on that field. Very simple, straightforward science. You know? And so that's practical, that's truth. Other than that, it is illusion. Because this is what the Shastra says you have to do. You have to follow a Shastra, and you have to apply it to the time, place, and circumstance. Now why Shastra? Because it's coming from Krishna. That's complete. Therefore, if you want your action to be complete and fit into everything that's going on, because no situation is completely isolated from any other, so it has to be my dealing with this situation actually deals with the situation and gets the whatever work it is accomplished, but at the same time, it doesn't disturb all the other situations that are within the sphere of my activities. Something at work can't disturb what's at home. What's at home can't disturb what's at work. You know, it's a work at the home can't disturb other elements, your social or other family things, or does that make sense? Your spiritual. It all has to match. So you have these different things. So how is it, what body of knowledge knows how spiritual works, how material works, how relationships work, you know, how economics work, how sense gratification works, how liberation works. How is it that you're going to get something that you're dealing, engaging the senses, but it's going to give you liberation? You're dealing with the mundane, but you're going to get bhakti as a result. Right? You're dealing with ignorance, but you're going to get knowledge from it. You name me. One author in this material world that has written anything on this subject anywhere. There isn't one. There never will be. So therefore it is illusion that there will be something found in the material energy. It's like kids digging around in the mud and think they're going to become millionaires. Oh, we might find something. It's possible. Yes, it could be. But has it ever happened? We never hear about it. You ever hear about stories? Kids were out playing in the backyard in the mud and came back with, you know, a 5 kilo diamond or something. You ever hear of it? No. Yeah, I say. Jambavan's son was playing with the diamond, but that was given to him. He was playing with it in the mud, but it was given to him to play in the mud. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't happen. And it's an illusion that devotees are going through to think that it will. But the point is unless it's connected to Krishna, there is nothing in this world that connects everything together. It will work at the office, but it'll screw it up at your house. It works at the house. It'll screw it up somewhere else. Why? Because it's incomplete. So Krishna's knowledge is complete. Therefore, if you base your action and on what Krishna gives, then it also becomes perfect and complete. Because this perfection is connected to Krishna. Knowledge means it's connected to Krishna. Avidya means it's not connected to Krishna. It's that simple. We can't say, oh, that's simplistic. No, that's fundamental. Simplistic means is that you're putting that aside for something else that fits whatever you feel like. Because you don't want to face the absolute truth. Because you're actually cheating. And you get together with your friends. And then they all agree that their cheating is right. And now that's truth. Right? And then they say this is modern. That is so old. Right? It's said here that it's always been there, this mentality. Always. Manu talks about it. Millions of years ago. Billions of years ago, the same mentality, right? thousands of years ago in the Greek society, this was a popular philosophy. Right? This vox populi, this sophism. That's what it was all about. And then they claim we're modern, we can't use this old stuff. They always use old stuff. Right? What is this thing, old, it doesn't work anymore? What? America, its administration, which is one of the strongest, you know, administrations of all the different countries in the world. What is it? It's taken from the Romans and Greeks administration, that's all. The thing of all these different republics and this and that and all these different branches. It was put together by Washington based on his study of the Greeks and the Romans. That's thousands of years old, but it still works today. So what is it that doesn't work today that's old? That's an illusion. That's simply they're not smart enough to be able to take the principles and apply it. They don't know principles, so they deal with externals, and therefore the external looks different, so everything's changed. Oh, it's a fire, but it's in a lighter, so therefore it's completely different. It works completely different than, let's say, wood. Or real, you know, go back to the real, you know, grungy days, you know, when people didn't take bath and all. I think they still don't, but whatever it is. Like that, you know, the caveman and their little flint and everything. So it's different from that, right? You take a flint and you hit it against the other, it makes a spark, and then that starts the fire, right? And the modern, up-to-date, you know, lighter doesn't work according to that at all. Right? You move your little finger, it doesn't move a flint, I'm telling you. You know, it moves a thing and it doesn't create a spark, and that doesn't light the material that you're burning. Right? So all it is doing is just, in a more sophisticated way, doing exactly what the caveman did. Right? That's all. And then somehow or another, modern man is something so different, so unique. But that's just a false ego of the conditioned soul, that I'm different and separate from God. That's all it is the living entities obstinate sticking to, I am special, I am different, I don't fit into this creation. Otherwise, why create Satan? What's unique about Satan? You know, maybe you've got the, you know, neat little horns or something, or, you know, smooth skin or something like that. Or, he's untouchable. Like that. You know what I'm saying? What makes him unique? Because he's not under God's laws. Right? How could a theist come up with this concept? That here you have a living entity. God is everything, the all-powerful, omniscient, omnis, omthat, however many oms you can put together. But this guy is independent, does whatever he likes. Not under God's control. So what does that mean? It puts him at least equal to God. But within the material world, it puts him as superior. Maybe in heaven, you know, God's, you know, got some say, but in, you know, the rest of the place. So what does that mean? How could a theist come up with that? It means if everything's from God, controlled by God, owned by God, then how would you have Satan? It's independent. So what does that do? Well, if he can become independent, I can be. That's the whole bottom line. Because otherwise, what do you do? Be good, be nice. Who decides what's good and nice? You know, is the government using God's laws, or are they making up their own? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you know, who's the supreme here? So if we maintain our attachment to this, it won't give us any more benefit as a devotee than it gives the karmis. It's a mundane thing. It's a mundane field. It'll give mundane results. It doesn't work nicely for the karmis. Why will it now work for the devotees? It won't work for them either. You can say, I'm connecting to Krishna, but are you connecting to Krishna? Is it actually being connected to Krishna? How is it connected to Krishna? That would have to be explained. If it can be, great. Then it should show the results. And if it's not, then it'll give just regular, old, ordinary, mundane results. this make sense? This mantra, Ishopanishad, teaches that one must perfectly know both Sambhuti, the personality of Godhead, and Vinasha, the temporary material manifestation, side by side. By knowing the material manifestation alone, one cannot be saved. For in the course of nature, there is devastation at every moment. Ahanyani bhutani gachantiha yama layam. Nor can one be saved from these devastations by the opening of hospitals. One can be saved only by complete knowledge of the eternal life of bliss and awareness. The whole Vedic scheme is meant to educate men in this art of attaining eternal life. Right, so if you only know the material, you can't be saved. Doesn't matter what arrangements you made, it is temporary, and it will have a beginning and an end. So even if you dream up some very nice mundane plan, it will have an end. It's the nature of material. So unless it's connected to the eternal, it won't remain. It won't give eternal results. Right? But it means the spiritual benefit is eternal. Your upliftment, your enlightenment, your happiness is eternal. But the material environment in which that's manifest, that's temporary. Now you can't mix the two, otherwise you have the heaven on earth kind of thing. Because you think that the mundane will last forever. Would you want it to last forever? Your grandmother's 90 years old, she should be 90 years old eternally? You know, you're there with your kid. That means your kid's going to be, 7 years old eternally. Ever thought about that one? So, does that make sense? It's a problem. The nature of the soul and material energy is summarized in the Dasamula Tattva as follows. So then it gives the knowledge about the living entities. 5. The living entities are Krishna's separated parts and parcels. 6. The living entity, due to its constitutional situation, as marginal energy, may come under the sway of the material energy. 7. Again, due to his marginal nature, the living entity in the liberated condition is freed of the influence of material nature. And 8. The living entity and everything in this material cosmos is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord Krishna. All right, so the first is that the nature of the living entity, just the, the science of it. Then, because he is in this state, because he's marginal, he can come under the material nature. But because he's marginal, he could also come under the spiritual. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing that brings him in the material can take him into the spiritual. It's just a matter of where his focus is. If he's in ignorance, it's the material world. If he's in knowledge, it's into the spiritual world. Right? And then the living entity is simultaneously one and different from the Lord. The same quality, same, Brahman, but it's minor. Krishna's unlimited, and the jiva is small, right? Because the jiva is coming from the Lord, so there's a non-difference, but at the same time, there's a difference. Right? The child's coming from the parents, so there's a non-difference, but at the same time, there's a difference. Right? Does that make any sense? Yes? No. Any questions on this? Otherwise, you start on the next. Okay, 2.1, the nature of the soul, right? Because this whole section is on the nature of the soul and the material energy, right? This whole. So in the first part, then from the Tattva Sutras, then the first division is about the living entity. Chapter 2 of Tattva Sutra, Chit Padartha Prakarana, Spirit. Introduction by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Here someone may ask, to whom does the Supreme Personality of Godhead give mercy when he creates the material universes and performs other activities? Why does he give his mercy to these persons? To answer this question by showing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates the material universes and performs many other activities in order to give mercy to the individual spirit souls, and also by showing, using all the Vedanta scriptures as evidence, the true nature of the individual spirit souls. The author of these sutras now begins this chapter which gives an elaborate definition of the word chit, spirit. So in other words, how the Lord creates everything and performs all his activities and who gets that mercy. You know why that's happening? And giving evidence from, here he's giving the Vedanta scriptures, like that. Then one will actually know the nature of the soul. Right? So it's all having to do with the Lord's activities, not just studied on its own. Sutra 11. The many conscious beings are followers of the Supreme, for they must obey his commands. In the notes it said, this clear distinction between the Lord and the individual soul is proclaimed in Sri Ishopanishad Mantra 8. Quote, such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Okay, so the living entities are followers of the Lord because they must obey his commands, right? So now here it is, why must they follow? Right? Because the Lord has a command that must be followed. Not just because he said it, because it's actually the way it works. Right? So why does the citizen follow the king? Just because the king said so? No, because the king is, it one, has a path that should be followed, and two, he's able to affect it. Right? Effect means it actually happens. Not by force, but it happens. So he does something that they follow him. So that means they're following his orders. So what would that mean? So if they have to follow his orders, means they're followers of the Supreme, they're following his orders, what does that mean? If they're following him, what does that mean? He's taking responsibility, okay, but very direct, specific. If I'm following the Lord, and in the performance of my duties, I'm following God's directives, what does that mean? So that's what I'm doing. But that is an accomplishment of following the Lord. So what does it mean the Lord's doing?
Leading.
But if I follow, this means like I say, okay, I put my hand on my head, now you should follow. What does that mean?
Dependent,
but the point is it's just like I eat something, then you follow that and you eat. So if, yes?
What you're doing is the right thing or the thing to
No, it's close. You're all going around the edge, but the very obvious is what we're missing, yes.
Must have faith.
Must have faith, okay. These are all important.
The Lord is actually doing that.
The Lord is doing it himself, right? Because that's one of the 64 qualities, is that he follows Shastra, right? So the Lord establishes what must be done. Why? Because it's what he wants to do, right? And then he does it, and everybody else follows it, because he follows Shastra, they follow Shastra. What do you say? So that's the meaning of leading. Leading means you're doing what you want the other person to do. If you want the other person to serve, you have to be serving. Right? You want the other person to be considerate, you must be considerate first. You want the other person to, whatever it is you want them to do, that's what you have to be doing. Does that make sense? So this idea, I'm in charge, therefore everyone must do what I say. But you have to be doing what you say. Yes.
Shows by his example.
Shows by example, yes. You know what I'm saying? So there must be some connection with it. Right? Does that make sense? So this is how it works. This is what leadership means. Parents, the children do what the parents do because they have something they're doing. Right? The parent is just doing whatever they like, means the kid's going to do whatever they like. Right? The parent doesn't follow authority, they don't follow the temple president, they just do whatever they like that. And then they wonder, how come their kid doesn't do what they do? The kid does what you do, which means whatever you like. You follow authority, your kid will follow authority. You don't follow authority, your kid won't follow authority. Does that make sense? You can't claim to be the authority and not follow authority. that make sense? So therefore, if you have a manager who doesn't accept authority, you'll find no one accepts his. Maybe a great manager, but who accepts his authority? Does that make sense? So that has to be applied. And that applies to all things, whatever you're doing. You know, like that. You know, you're in charge of something there. You know, the husband and his wife. If he's not doing it, he can't expect the wife to do it. Does that make sense? You know? Whatever is your position, the leader, it just won't work. Why? Because this is the way Krishna's established it. So this is the opening verse on dealing with the jivas. Right? The jiva has to follow what it, like that, because his command is how the material energy, how everything functions. So it has to work that way. Does that make sense? So then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments. Here the word chaitana means conscious spirit souls. The plural is used here to indicate that the souls are many in number. The word paranugata means that the souls are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are under his control. This is so because they must obey his commands. In the Shruti Sashta it is said, residing in the heart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead controls the individual living entities. Bhagavad Gita 18:61, it is said, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wandering of all living entities. In the Narada Pancharatra, second night, first chapter, Lord Sadashiva explains, for the individual spirit souls, who is like a reflection of the Supreme Lord, suffers and enjoys in the material world. Some sages say that this eternal soul has qualities like those of the Lord himself. Sometimes the individual soul is visible, and sometimes he disappears. When he disappears, he is born again in another body. The soul never dies. He merely travels from one material body to another. In Bhagavad Gita 7:56, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, besides this inferior nature, O Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both its origin and dissolution. In the Upanishads it is said, O Sweta Ketu, you are that. In Srila Madhvacharya's Tattva Muktavali, text 6, it is said, the Mayavadi commenter on the Vedanta claims that the words Tattvamasi, I think the Sweta Ketu, you are that, means Tattvamasi. That's the... are the Mahavakya, the most important statement of the Vedas. According to his explanation, Tat means the supreme, Tvam means you, and Asi means are. He interpreted the words to mean you are the supreme. And he claimed that there is no difference between the supreme and the individual spirit souls. The Vaishnav commentator on Vedanta interpreted these words in a different way, saying that tatvam is a possessive compound word, shasti tatpurusha samas. According to his explanation, tat means of the supreme, and the entire sentence means you are the servant of the supreme. In this way, the proper meaning of the scriptural statement is clearly shown. He never takes anything as one. There's no even fragrance, you know, like that. So that's the use of grammar, because sometimes you think, oh, it's just that, but this is, you can establish what's proper. In the Sri Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka is presented the following opinion held by the devotees of the Lord. The word Vasudeva means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than the greatest. The scriptural statement Sankarshano Jiva means Lord Sankarshana gives life, jiva yati, to the individual spirit souls. These words do not mean that Lord Sankarshana is himself an individual soul, jiva. Rather, Lord Sankarshana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is confirmed by the words Mamobhe Shashvati Tanu. Therefore, the conclusion is that Lord Sankarshan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the creator of is the creator of the individual spirit souls. Right? So all this is then been showing is how he is the creator of them and their following. He's created how the material energy works, so all the living entities are following that. Right? He is also directing, means the Shastra, Guru, Sadhus are directing. They may follow, they may not follow. But even if they're not following those, they're still following somebody. And that somebody still gets back to the Supreme Lord. Because the modes of nature, how everything's functioning, people are still working according to the Lord's direction. No one's taking 8,400,001 birth. No, it's only within that. There's not four modes. Well, it depends if you're in New Zealand, then there might be four modes of nature. But if you're not in New Zealand, then there's only three modes of nature. You never heard of Kiwi Goon? No? Come on. You were down under, you don't know about Kiwi Goon? Okay. So, in other words, everything is fixed. You don't know about Kiwi Goon? My God. It's supposed, according to the Australians, it's a guna that's lower than the mode of ignorance. So it appears that there's not a great a regard for the Kiwis by the Aussies. One would get that idea. Of course, Kalasamvara has a completely different opinion. He comes over to Australia to goof on the Australians' way of talking. He thinks that's funny. So he'll go to a shop, buy something, and the girl behind the counter will say something, you know, in the accent. And then he'll ask her to say it again. He'll just be cracking up laughing. They don't know what's going on. So, you know, it can go both ways. I guess it's just who's in politically more powerful position, right? Okay, so does that make sense? So it's all according to whatever is going on is according to the Lord's direction. Then the jivas, according to his individual independence, is choosing to follow the Lord's direction, either to please the Lord through spiritual endeavor or to please himself through material endeavor. Like that? Okay. And then tomorrow, then we'll hear, you know, from Prabhupada's Ishupanishad, then, you know, where this is, then this point is explained in the Ishupanishad.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
Australia used to use the raises IQ of 100.